We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is Red Sox Review on WEEI.
Long fly ball deep to right field. Mookie going back. It's in the bullpen. Wow. Opposite field home run. Chris Davis is 12th. It's a two-run game again, 6-4. As Carson Smith served one up on a 1-1 pitch.
Recapping the Red Sox loss against the A's.
Mookie swings, grounds it toward the middle, but the shortstop is there. Semien has it, throws to first, and the ball game is over. The Oakland A's beat the Red Sox 6-5 in the opener of this three-game series.
Dial 617-779-7937. Red Sox Review with Mike Mutnanski on WEEI.
No. This is not something wrong with your radio. This is not a misprint, although it's radio, so how could it possibly be a misprint? The Red Sox and Oakland A's just played an American League game that featured five home runs and 20 hits and multiple pitching changes in a crisp 2 hours and 40 minutes. Only two, was it two? I think it was only two mound visits the entire game. A bunch of double plays, and it's played in a nice and tidy 240 tonight. The result not great if you're a Red Sox fan, but if this is the example of speeding up the game, a game that saw five home runs in the American League that only took 2 hours and 40 minutes, this is what I'd point to if I were Major League Baseball, this game in particular. This indeed is Red Sox Review up until midnight. This will end up being one of our longer Red Sox reviews of the season, at least that I've been here, given this game went so short. So we'll get to your phone calls early and often at 617-779-7937. As is often the case, we have a Red Sox review while there are other things going on, specifically in this case, Celtics, Cavs, LeBron, and legalized sports gambling in our country. Those two things I am more passionate about, quite frankly, than 6-5 Oakland over the Red Sox in game 41 of the season. So if you have Red Sox takes, you want to get to them early. Kyle DeLuz is producing the show tonight. Kyle DeLuz, famous for his work on the Kirk and Callahan show. Kyle DeLuz, who is maniacal, and every mistake I make tonight, and there will be plenty, will be cataloged and highlighted, ready for Chris Curtis and Ken Laird tomorrow morning. They'll walk in, and all my screw-ups will be there, and they'll play them all morning long. That's how it goes. So as the show goes on, we'll get into other things. If you want to talk Red Sox, you want to do it early in the program. It's 617-779-7937 is your phone number. 617-779-7937. That is the number to talk everything, but specifically, if you want to talk Sox early, you're at the game tonight, and you're pissed about Mookie Betts running into another out on the bases, or Rick Porcello sucking, or the Oakland A's hitting a bunch of home runs, you want to do it early on in the program. As for takeaways tonight, again, it's game 41, so you're not going to have blazing hot, pillar takeaways of Red Sox baseball every single night. The Mookie Betts out at second base was not as bad as the Christian Vasquez out the other day, but it's another out on the base pass. If my math is correct, that is now, I think, 19? It might be 20. Don't quote me. It's somewhere in that vicinity of 19 or 20 outs on the bases. This one, Mookie did not have to try to take third base. Ground ball to Marcus Semien, who is not a great infielder by any stretch, would have been lucky to make the play at first anyway. And I felt like Mookie bailed him out. And so instead of, and maybe makes the out at first, maybe it's a runner on second and two down and anyway, because Hanley ended up getting there. But it's this now piling up of dumb base running by the Red Sox. I blame Farrell for this a year ago. I killed the guy. It is not John Farrell. I mean, this team has a bunch of guys that cannot run the bases. And they have a third base coach. This year, it's a first-year third base coach. He has had guys thrown out at the plate. That's been an issue. And just in general, I don't think Andrew Benintendi is a great base runner. I don't think Christian Vasquez is a great base runner. Mookie Betts is. I mean, Mookie Betts has become one of the better base runners in baseball, as far as I can tell, going first to third and reading the ball in front of him in the outfield. This was not one of those plays. Now, this was a ground ball in the infield and got caught sort of in the middle. And again, maybe they make the play at first and with Hanley running and doesn't matter. It just seems sort of silly in that spot if you're Mookie Betts to give Marcus Semien the easy way out. Let him make that deep throw to third to first from shortstop. Make him make that throw. He's not Francisco Lindor. He's not Jose Iglesias. Make that play from deep in the outfield grass, essentially, the edge of the infield, and don't make it easy on him. And I thought Mookie did in that spot. As for Rick Porcello, this is now two straight games where he has been absolutely rocked. He got hit hard by the Yankees in that loss at the stadium. Tonight was no different. I mean, I know they only hit two home runs off him. I got his final box score right here. It says 9 hits and 5 runs. It felt worse. He didn't walk anybody. He gave up 2 home runs. He gave up rockets everywhere tonight. And so he had been the best pitcher on the staff, not named Chris Sale. And he had helped you fill in when David Price had his ouchies and his boo-boos and his hot then cold and carpal tunnel and bagging out of games against the Yankees. He has not looked good the last two starts. So, it's Rick Porcello's a sinker baller. You know, based on his track record, you go out there next time and keep the ball down, and it wouldn't be an issue for him. But these last two have been bad. If the thought was you're getting Cy Young Rick Porcello based on the 5-0 start and the ERA that was in the twos for a long time, I think it's still probably somewhere hovering in the upper twos, right? No, into 3.28 after tonight. That has not been the case the last two starts for Rick Porcello. So the bad base running there is something Alex Cora has got to stop glossing over and has to work on with this team. And I don't know how you do that during the year. Do you run base running drills? Do you remind these guys over and over and over again not to make stupid outs in front of you? I don't know. But for a team that is 28-12 through 40 going into tonight, they got to be a better base running team. So to me, those two things stood out from a negative. The positive, and I saw this is probably not a big topic tonight, but I saw Drellick tweet this out, Evan Drellick, NBC Sports Boston, and he's kind of a moron, but he's right about this. JD Martinez is having a monster first 7 weeks of the year. He hit his 11th home run of the season tonight. He's batting 400 since April 25th. He has been tremendous for this team. And there were so many people out there that were calling up during the offseason, during those godforsaken hot stove shows, and telling us that Giancarlo Stanton's the guy. And this guy, why did they miss on Stanton? Why Jeter beat him to the bubble? No, and I tried to tell you, Martinez is the better option for the Red Sox. From the salary standpoint, from the injury track record that Stanton has, and on top of all that, you don't have to, the Red Sox and the Yankees didn't give up much anyway, but you don't have to trade for him. And that salary is insane for Stanton. 10 years and close to $30 million, whatever it is left on that deal. And Martinez, to me, is as good a hitter. And you're seeing it this year. If you're one of these people that won the sizzle of Giancarlo Stanton, I guess you're not happy. If you just want a production and you wanted a guy who was going to solidify the middle of the Red Sox order, that's JD Martinez. And I know they lose tonight, and when they lose, you're not supposed to say anything positive. Normally, this becomes a rip-a-thon on the team, which is fine with me. I like that you guys get nuts after one game in the month of May. I like that. You are my people. But in this case, I think we have to spend a minute or two pointing out how good JD Martinez has been this year. 2-for-4 tonight. Scored a run. Had the solo home run into right field. His 18th multi-hit game of the season. He is behind only Nick Markakis for the Major League lead. Couple of notes on the start here. Consecutive games, first time this season. He has 6 home runs in his last 12 games. He homered 7 of his 11 last home runs come on the first strike of the at bat. 7 of his last 11, first strike of the at bat. So last year, this team, patient, work up the pitch count, Kevin Youkilis, blah, 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 that dumb approach. Here comes J.D. Martinez, changes that. And I can go on and on. He's hit safely in 14 of his last 15. 53 hits, 346, 19-game on-base streak, during which he's batting 405. I mean, it's just he has been everything you'd want and probably a little bit more. On pace for 40 home runs. Guy doesn't say boo. Remember Adrian Gonzalez, for as good as he was? It's God's will, and we had played all these Sunday night games on the schedule. Maybe J.D. Martinez will eventually show that, but so far, you know what he does? He shuts up, he shows up, and he hits. That's all he does. That's it. And he's getting credit for mentoring the young hitters on this team, like Devers and Mookie Betts, so add that into the J.D. Martinez experience. So those are my three thoughts out of game 41 of 162. If you have more, God bless you. And I will take your phone calls on Red Sox early and often here at 617-779-7937. The phone number, I want to get into Celtics and legalized sports gambling as the show goes on. But we defer to you wackos, you crazies, who call in 5-6 nights a week during the Red Sox season on this program, including David in Florida, who is the most negative caller in the history of sports talk radio, as a reference point. When the Patriots came back to beat the Seattle Seahawks in the Super Bowl, I did the post-game show with Fred Smirlus, which is an experience in its own right. David was the first caller that night and was critical of Freddie and I for giving Tom Brady too much credit for the comeback. Too much credit. So that's David in Florida as a reference, but we love that about him. Good evening, David. How are you, buddy?
I mean, if Brady threw for 50 more yards and didn't have that little fumble at the end of this game, you know, I mean, they could have won. I mean, you know,
coulda, shoulda, woulda. But you were the first caller that night, and you said you guys are giving Brady too much credit. That happened.
He's a cutesy. He's too tepid.
That happened.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember you went bananas when I called him tepid one night.
I probably did.
Yeah, and such a little pretty boy, Tommy. I can't wait to see him. We should trade him for Garoppolo straight.
I heard Trenny say that this weekend, that he's been too self-involved on social media this weekend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so you agree with Trenny
right now.
What's up, David?
Yeah. Oh, I mean, since they started out the season 17-2, if you take a look at the past 22 games,
okay,
they are now 500, 11-11. Since they started 17-2, they are now 11-11 over the past 22 games. I called you last week and I said that the honeymoon is over for Alex. I mean, yeah, they're hitting. The offense is much more dynamic than it was the past couple of years. But like you just said a minute ago, the base running is still atrocious. The bullpen is inconsistent at best. And I mean,
I agree with you. I think that the Alex Cora honeymoon, if you want to play it that way, David, is over. We had that conversation last week, and I agreed at that point. What tonight? So the base running as a whole is an absolute issue, and that falls on the manager. But take that out. What decision tonight falls on his shoulders for the Red Sox not winning this game?
I didn't see tonight's game. I had it on the radio, but I didn't see it.
But you listened to it then. So what was the?
Yeah, but I mean, it seems like the Mookie situation. But ultimately, you know, if the player, it's the manager's job. The manager is responsible for the player's play, and if he's not correcting it, I will grant him that he's finally benching Jackie, and maybe that'll motivate Jackie to do something. Maybe Jackie needs to get into the ballpark a couple hours early and just go through some batting practice. Maybe he needs to change his batting stance. I don't know. I have no idea. But, you know, sometimes that'll motivate him. So, I mean, if the players aren't playing well and they're making stupid mistakes, then he has to address it. And like you said, I don't know with this base running. I mean, I just don't know. Is it mental? Is it visual? Are they not getting good reads? Are they just making overly aggressive mistakes? It's costing them. It's costing them dearly.
It definitely is. It's cost. They're 28-13 after tonight, David. Thanks for the call. It's cost them a game or two along the way of the aggressive base running. Didn't cost them yesterday. Bad base running play by Vasquez. One on his own, a double steal. Apparently saw something he didn't see and just brutal. Tonight was not as bad, but as a whole, I'd grade it as like a D-. Their base running this year, and it's been saved by Betts and a couple other guys who have aggressively, you know, taken advantage at times. But overall, it has not been good. For a team that, you know, won 20 of their first 40 games, the base running is subpar. Wally in Fall River, always there to talk Red Sox. Hey, Wally.
What's up? I mean, this game was winnable.
As far as
Porcello, he pitched poorly. This is a very good lineup like the Yankees. There's no really household names in it. But this game was winnable. When you're thinking of two innings, you had a chance to score three or four runs. And then you have Blake Swihart. What was he? Two strikeouts and a double play. But I just can't see why Cora has this guy in the lineup once a week. I mean, they got to have to do something with the bottom of the order. I know where Pedroia is going to hit, but I'm sure he doesn't want to hit seventh or eighth.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to hit seventh or eighth. You mentioned Swihart tonight, and Rob and I talked about him, Wally. Thanks for the call. A little bit prior to the game, they're trying to get him an at bat. I think he's basically says it once a week. I mean, that's basically he's a once a week player right now. Tonight, that first at bat, he came up the situation that he's talking about. This, I guess, is what the other. I gave you three bullet points off the game. The other one was, and Wally's right, a winnable game that the Red Sox had their opportunities. It was the top of the fourth inning. The Red Sox get their first two runs on against Manaea. Xander Bogaerts walked, Nunez single. Blake Swihart in the lineup for the first time in forever. Ground ball, double play, threat averted. And they had other spots as well where they got a run, still had a runner on first base, nobody out, could not score. There was some missed opportunities offensively tonight. I don't know what they're going to do with Swihart. I have no clue how long they can play this thing out. I suspect they see the value in Blake Swihart, that they know around baseball he'd have some value, because there are teams he would go and start for right now. There'd be bad teams in baseball who would say a 20-something-year-old catcher who, you know, a switch hitter, has speed, a little bit of pop, you can play every day. He apparently is not seasoned enough behind the plate to garner the long-term experience that Cora wants there. And so he is relegated to 25th man, and who the hell knows? When Pedroia comes back, I might facilitate Brock Holt to AAA, could get Blake Swihart off the roster. Right now, he is not doing enough to be on the roster every day for a team with 28 wins. He's not. He doesn't offer you enough value. As the third catcher slash utility guy, now DH tonight, as a right-handed bat, this is less on Cora and more on Dombrowski. He's got a bleeper get off the pot when it comes to Swihart. Is he here? Can he be the backup catcher? Do you want to move Leon? Do you want to move Vasquez? I mean, what's the play? He can't be here all year in the role he's in right now. It makes no sense. So we're coming to a head with that. I will say this to defend him. If you look at the advanced metrics on the exit velocity of baseballs, like how hard a ball is hit, I think the ball he hit to right field tonight is a hit like 90% of the time in baseball. And this stuff drives me crazy, and normally I would not quote it on this show because you guys don't care about it. You care about results, so do I. But in this case, Swihart, an absolute missile. Nice play by the right fielder. 9 times out of 10, that's a hit, based on how hard he hit it. And it's the hardest hit ball by a catcher this year. God, I shouldn't know that. Again, stupid Evan Drellick in his Twitter account that I followed during these dumb games. So, a little bit snake bit, but he's not done enough in any facet. Catching, DHing, playing positions, running the bases, none of it. Swihart has done enough to keep a roster spot when eventually Pedroia comes back. And Pedroia makes them a better team the second he's here, because he is a plus-plus defensive second baseman over whatever Nunez is. And Nunez is down to 2-something batting average. So he had a good first couple weeks. He has not been really good since. So for the people that suggest that they're a better team without Dustin Pedroia, you folks need your eyes checked. is what I would say. 617-779-7937, the phone number. I gave you three or four thoughts off 6-5 Oakland. You can jump in now. This is the time to do it. You got Red Sox. I see Cora calls up there. We see a bunch of other Red Sox calls up there. This is the time to get in at 617-779-7937. We'll get into Celtics and legalized gambling in this country. Way to go, Supreme Court. As the show goes on, it's Red Sox Review, Sports Radio, WEEI.
This is Red Sox Review on WEEI.
I mean, it's not, I mean, he gets four bats today, a good one in the first one. Then he saw the changeup, wasn't able to get under it. He hit the last one against Petit, hit it hard. So he competed. That's what he's, like I've been saying, it's not an easy spot. You know, you don't play and all of a sudden you face one of the best pitchers in the big leagues. But he competed. That's what we asked him for. You know, just keep competing.
That's a nice way of saying he competed, but he's going to compete his way right off this roster at some point. There's been no room for a guy who the third catcher plays once a week, pinch runs here and there. I don't know what they do. He's out of options. So you cannot just send him back down to AAA. You've got to DFA him and find a deal for him or trade him actively or decide that you can live without Leon or Vasquez, but that doesn't seem likely given that you want defensive catchers who can call the game for a pitching staff that includes guys like David Price and Chris Sale and Rick Porcello. I would think that's not the way they're going to go, but they backed themselves into this corner. If you want to take a step back and look at this thing from 30,000 feet, when they decided, not even a year ago, 2 years ago, when to try Blake Swire at different positions and get him out, they took him out of that catcher position. Instead of focusing on him as a catcher full-time, they made a different decision, and that has left them where they are today. With a player that certainly has some use, but on this current roster, square peg, round hole. And so my guess is when Pedroia comes back, he'll be traded or DFA'd or something that is going to involve Blake Swihart before Brock Holt. Because Brock Holt, you know, he presents he's still a 4A player to me. I don't think Brock Holt is as good as you folks think he is, but he's a better option right now in a lot of ways than Blake Swihart is. So that will now be an issue going forward because Pedroia had a rehab outing tonight, 1-for-3, said he felt good. He's nearing a return for this Red Sox infield. 617-779-7937. Zach in Boston on Alex Cora. Hi, Zach. Zach, you there? Zach. Zach is there. I can kind of hear him, but he's not really ready to go. Mike in North Providence. Mike.
How you doing there, Mike? Yeah, with regard to Hector Velasquez, I've just been really pleased. I mean, I know he got put on the 10-day DL, and a lot of that's just, you know, trying to find a reason to make space for Wright, at least as they make the decision of who they're going to be keeping long-term on this roster. But his use as a long reliever, I think, has been a big development on this team. I've been wanting to use a long reliever for a long time as it is, and he's really kind of fit well into that role because – it's almost like he gives you counts for two relievers in that role. It's like having an eighth reliever on your roster because he's pitching twice the load because he's already stretched out. You don't use him as much, but when you do use him for extra innings. And like yesterday's game was a perfect example of, you know, Cora looks at the starter and he says, you know what, this guy, if I put him out there for another inning, he's going to give up a crooked number. How many times in the past did we see John Farrell trying to squeeze another inning out of a guy, end up giving a game away? And I think Hector makes that decision much easier for Cora because he knows that he's good for multiple innings. So what do you think about that?
I think you've talked about him before. I think he has been a lot better this year, Mike, and thanks for the call, than I expect him to be. I don't know what his role is going to be long-term in this team. If Steven Wright is here as long man, this is where the roster manipulation, this is now on Dave Dombrowski. Because you have a guy in Hector Velasquez who showed you can be the long man on this team. And the idea that Steven Wright's going to come in and pitch better than Velasquez did, it just seems very unlikely. He pitched with a 5-0 record, and those wins in part can largely be because you're in the right place, right time. When you live the role that he plays, when you're coming in for starters who didn't fare well or pitching multiple innings or pitching extra innings, then, you know, you're at the mercy of when you come in. And he had a couple starts in order to get the year started. He had a couple wins, but got great run production. The second one of those wins, they got like 10 runs against the Orioles. But forget the wins, the ERA. He only gave up in his last six outings he pitched for the Red Sox, he gave up one run. And so, I like Mike's alluding to, Steven Wright's back, and he's worth more to the team, I guess, as a starter. But for the role they want him in, long reliever, I mean, I never quite got knuckleballers out of the bullpen. And I know Wakefield was the closer here. I, you know, grew up on Wakefield as a closer for a year or two. And they've had guys pitch out of the bullpen with the knuckleball, but that always seems a little bit dicey to me, given the opportunity for the wild pitch of the pass ball. Especially like if you know, Blake Swihart was back there. Like, he finds himself in a game, you know, trying to catch the knuckleball of Steven Wright. So, yeah, I'll give Velasquez some love. Is he the most important guy on the team? No, but I think that he probably, based on the performance so far this year, he's probably a better option for long man than Steven Wright is in the long term for this team. Steve in Connecticut wants to talk about Blake Swihart tonight. 617-779-7937. Hi, Steve.
Hey, Mike. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it, Steve.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, you know, we've had Swihart as, like, a top prospect for, like, what, the last 5 years? I remember, like, 5 years ago we had, like, Betts, Owens, and Bradley and Swihart. Those are, like, the top four prospects. Yeah, he hasn't panned out yet, but I think they're just trying to give him some chances so that maybe we can trade him to the Mets for, like, a prospect or something. But, yeah, with Pedroia coming back, it makes it in a tough situation where he may just not have a home. But, yeah.
Like, what's Steve, I hear what you said, but, like, what's – so Pedroia comes back. What's his value to this team? He catches once every 2 weeks. He plays once every week. He pinch runs here and there. Like, at some point, if he's not the backup catcher and you don't trust him to really play anywhere else defensively, this is not, it's not a reclamation year for the Red Sox. This is supposed to be a year where they're competing for a pennant. They're now a half game back in the AL East. This is a World Series contending team. I feel confident in saying that. I didn't think it necessarily coming into the year. But based on what we've seen so far this year in Major League Baseball, you can call them a World Series contender without being laughed out of the room. What role does Blake Swihart have on a World Series contending team if he's not the backup catcher?
I think they'll probably designate him for assignment, and then hopefully we can just get something for him. But, he doesn't seem like he's a fit on the team. I'm looking forward to when Pedroia comes back. The lineup's going to be interesting. When that happens, we're going to have a lot of versatility with Nunez and whatnot. So,
well, Nunez is going to give you that bat off the bench you desperately need right now. Pedroia makes them better defensively. The second he goes in there, he's probably even as good as Nunez has been at times and for different flashes. Pedroia is a much better offensive player. And I get the other part of this is not Pedroia the player, but Pedroia the teammate. And there are Red Sox fans that are just out on Pedroia. And I get that part of it. If you believe he was one of the people that was standing up and cheering along with David Price during the mock cheer of Dennis Eckersley, if you want to go back and look at that terrible incident with the Baltimore Orioles that involved Manny Machado, that's not me, but it's them, that's not me. And the can I get home cut, you know, or not can I get home, can I go home? When he was asked the questions about this, when he was front and center on it, like, why do I have to answer these questions? Well, you were part of it. You were the main focal point of all this crap. So I understand that part of it. But as a player, if you can put that to the side, he's a much, much better option right now than Nunez. Maybe he'll come back and he'll be hurt. But three at-bats tonight, had a hit, played the field, played second base at Pawtucket. Said he came out of it great. Joked that he barreled up three balls. So he seems like he is pacing himself here for a sometime next week, potentially, if they take it really slow with him, and I think they will, to make sure he's not rushed back, given that I think last year the quote was his knee is always going to be something he has to deal with. So they got a week to figure out the rest of the lineup, and my guess is that at some level Cora hopes that Vasquez or Leon gets hurt, so he has 10 more days of Blake Swihart to figure this thing out. But if he doesn't, he feels like the odd man out, I would think, at this point. 617-779-7937. We'll hear from Alex Cora. We'll also get into top of the hour. Celtics, Cavs, LeBron, and legalized gambling here in this country, which is now going to be up to on a state-by-state basis. Does your state want to legalize sports betting? And hopefully Massachusetts is front and center wanting to do that. We'll get to that in your calls. Red Sox Review, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Dial 617-779-7937. Now, Red Sox Review on WEEI.
6-5, your final. The Oakland A's take the opener here from Fenway Park. Red Sox and A's. Sports Radio WEEI. Red Sox review up until midnight. Then Patrick Gilroy had until 2 a.m. Your phone calls at 617-779-7937. You heard Alex Cora talk about Blake Swihart. Said he competed in those at-bats. The manager spoke minutes after the game. 6-5 Oakland.
He wasn't able to put hitters away. Hanging changeup to Joyce, the front door cutter to Lucroy, and then Olson. He made some good pitches down in his zone, and he left a fastball up and away, and he put a good swing on it. That was the story of the game.
What did you
think of the offense with you guys tonight? It was okay. bad decision by Mookie with the ground ball by Hanley. He got into a rundown, and we still had, the runner in scoring position. But in that one, it's one of those that, ground ball, hard ground ball in the hole. We're not going to score there, probably. So just going to make sure the ball goes by. But then he did a good job, hanging in a rundown. Hanley did a good job as a batter runner to get to second. So, but we have to make sure, we clean that up.
How surprising is that, given that he might be the best pitcher?
It's very surprising, but, he's human. But he made a good play afterward, but as a whole, we talk about it. We need to get better in that aspect of the game.
What do you think of
Swihart's at-bats? He gets four at-bats today. Good one in the first one. Then he saw the changeup, wasn't able to get under it. Hit the last one against Petit, hit it hard. So he competed. That's why he's one of the best pitchers in the big leagues. But he competed, and That's what we asking for. Just keep competing.
What adjustments were you guys looking to make against Manaea this time around?
We talk about expanding down in the zone. Overall, we did a good job of it. His stuff is still good. At one point, I saw a fast 195, but for him, it's a lot better to pitch a 91, 92 compared to last year. Last year, it was full effort, just missing fastballs arm side. Now, his control is a lot better. His changeup is a good one. Not surprisingly, he's one of the best in the big leagues.
Early on, you seemed like you were kind of waiting on Porcello's changeup.
They made some adjustments, and we made adjustments throughout the game, too, with them. That's a pretty good hitting team. They seems like they were able to foul off pitches and get that pitch count up right away. But I think at the end, it was just about putting guys away. He had him with two strikes, and he wasn't available to do that. And like I said before, that was the story of the game.
And in the sixth, was it a tough call? You let him out there to finish
up? No, not a tough call. We were going, he had it with two strikes. We feel his fastball was a good – it was good against him, against Olson. After that, you saw what happened, 1-2-3. So just one of those pitches that got away. It was up in the zone. The guy put a good swing on it.
Alex, shutdown innings have really been an issue for you guys. But tonight, three times you scored in the bottom, and then you answered right away on the top. How frustrating is that for a team kind of deflating whatever you've done?
No, it's part of it. We've done it to other teams, too. It just happened. Davis put a good swing on a pitch down in the zone. He goes the other way. It's not that, we had guys almost, we almost put him away, and we didn't. And the kid Fowler, he gets a cutter slider inside, and he stays inside that ball. It looked like it's a foul ball, fly ball to center, goes up the wall. Give him credit. They ran out of bats. They put the ball in play with two strikes, and good things happen to them.
Do you find yourself expecting JD to do this every night?
We expect them to compete, all of them. But what he's doing is very special, let's be honest. The way he drives the ball the other way, he uses the middle of the field. Back in the day, you talk about little guys like staying in the middle of the field or go the other way. Well, he does, but he does it with power. It's fun to watch.
Other questions?
Yeah. Thank you.
Have a good night.
That's the skipper, Alex Cora, a couple minutes ago here from Fenway Park. Is Oakland 6, Red Sox 5. And that point there at the end, my guess is we'll see A couple of sidebars tomorrow on J.D. Martinez. I saw it. Evan Drellick, NBC Sports Boston, suggested, and he's right, that he has not been not gotten highlighted enough here based on his start. 11 home runs now in the first 41 games. I'm terrible at math. That's on base for like 40 home runs, I think, somewhere around there. And I suspect you'll see that written tomorrow. Had another big home run tonight, went the other way. He's driving the ball opposite field with power, and has been exactly what they did not have a year ago. First year without David Ortiz, they had zero pop there in the middle, no one to really fear. Martinez now providing that. They didn't win tonight, and there are some bad things about tonight's loss, but J.D. Martinez was not one of them. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. As I said, I felt like we'd get through a couple of Red Sox calls. I think we've exhausted Red Sox talk for game 41 of the year. If you want to jump in, the calls will be there up until midnight. But I want to come back and jump on a couple other things. Howard Bryant wrote a story about Fenway Park I want to talk about. Certainly the Celtics and Cavaliers. And the biggest story in the country today, that's the Supreme Court ruling that state by state, yes, you can decide Massachusetts, New York, Connecticut, New Hampshire, Vermont, Maine, here in New England at least. If you want legal sports betting in your state and what that means, what I think it means. Your calls on that as well at 617-779-7937. Hour 2, Red Sox Review. Don't go anywhere.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.